Let's take your Bibles and go with me, if you would, to Psalm 127. They've got the clock all ready to go, and it's going to start. It's going to set the clock at 45 minutes, and as soon as it dings, then we'll go to overtime, and then maybe double overtime. And no, I'm just kidding. We'll move pretty swiftly. We want to make preparations for Spanish ministry as they come in as well. They'll be coming in about an hour after we're finished, so we want to be able to take care of everything in here. In preparation for all of this. It's great to see you this morning, and it's great to see all the family sitting together. You were forced to do this. You say, Pastor, I've been living in the same household as all these people for all these weeks. I can't take these people anymore. I hope that's not the case. I hope that you're thriving and doing well at this time. But the problem with this, too, is I don't know where everybody's sitting yet. So we'll have to do this for several weeks so that then I'll know that you're not here one Sunday, and then I'll know that I'm missing somebody. So we'll try to get this down. I'm so used to being in the auditorium and seeing everybody right where they normally sit, and that surely makes it easier on me. And then, you know, when someone's not in service. Just a couple of things. If this perhaps is your first time with us, we are not a crazy cult. We're not crazy individuals. We're very kind people. And we'd love to have you come back and see us when you can see us face to face, as Brother Jeff said there in the verse that he read, and we're open faced. That'd be all right with me. So we're delighted to have you come and join us on this Sunday. And as I said, we'll kind of address this on a week by week basis, and we'll hopefully be back up and running and be back to full services and everything soon. Just a reminder as well, if you've been giving online, you can continue to do that. But if perhaps you've stored up some envelopes and you're just in the habit of giving through the envelope system, there is a box over here to my left, and you can leave your offering today. So the offering will not be passed, but I do want to make that available to you. We're going to spend a lot of time in introduction today, and then I'm going to rapidly go through the points. Don't you love that? We'll walk through these things. If you have your Bible handy, I would say share with someone else, but you can't do that. But take your Bibles, and if you have it in electronic format, turn with me to Psalm 127. Psalm 127, I want to lay the foundation for the message this morning, and this is a subject that applies to every single one of us. And if there's anybody here today, or even listening via live stream, that does not have a problem in dealing with the subject that I'm going to address this morning, then please see me afterwards. I want to sit at your feet, and I have much to learn from you, because this has been a struggle in my life from almost the time of birth. And I want to address a topic this morning. We're in a series called Family Matters and What Really Matters to the Family. We've looked at a number of different things thus far. Let me just rehearse several of them this morning, or all of them. We began by looking at biblical salvation. Perhaps there are one or more individuals in your home that does not yet know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. Today's the day of salvation. Today is the day to trust Christ. You as a husband cannot biblically lead your home unless you know Christ as your Savior. For each wife, you'll not be the wife that God would have you to be if you do not know Christ as your Savior. For all the kids, it ought to be the parents' desire in that first missionary endeavor to see our children come to know the Lord Jesus as their Savior. So we dealt with the issue of biblical salvation. Then Brother Bradford dealt with the matter of biblical surrender and submission. He took the hot topic button, or the hot button topic, and dealt with that while I was out of town. So there no emails came pouring into my email address. They all went to Brother Bradford, and that worked out perfectly. You know, no one wants to hear anything about submission, but of course we all have someone that we're to submit to. Then we dealt last Sunday morning with biblical symbiosis, and perhaps you've never heard that word before. Perhaps you've used it many times this week after I used it last Sunday morning. But it is the spiritual glue that binds a husband and wife together. And the Bible says that we are to be one flesh, the husband and wife relationship. This morning, we want to deal with biblical structure, biblical structure. Look what the Bible says in Psalm 127. In verse number 1, Psalm 127, verse number 1, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. Except the Lord build the house. Now, I don't know if you have ever taken it upon yourself to have a home built. We have been blessed in having a great builder and having a home built for us, and it was a wonderful experience. It wasn't without trial, it wasn't without difficulty, but we were very blessed to work through the process and to be able to see a piece of land go from grass and field type setting to now a home is raised up on that piece of land, and we were able for our boys to live there and just blessed in making that house our home. So we've seen that kind of thing raised up, and it was a wonderful blessing to see it built and to understand that it went from being a piece of land to now the place where we live and dwell, and we're so blessed to have that in our past. But I want to speak on a far bigger issue this morning, and that's the matter of the biblical structure of your home, your spiritual home, and how you are interacting and dealing with husband, wife, and children in the home. Again, perhaps this morning you'd say, Pastor, for us, it's the matter of salvation. You can take care of that today. Come to Christ. Perhaps you'd be honest with the Lord and say, no, in our home, the real matter is biblical submission or biblical surrender. And all of us, each one of the parts being submissive to Almighty God. Or perhaps you'd say it starts in the husband-wife relationship, and we just are not on the same page. And so you'd say, if we're going to be honest with God and honest with ourselves this morning, then we must, as a husband and wife, do what God would have us to do. Now, I said I'd spend some time in introduction, and so we want to flow from this verse, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain to build it. Turn with me, if you would, back to Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3, and I'm going to read to you from a passage here in chapter 2. So if you turn back with me to Genesis chapter 3, you stay there, and I'm going to read to you from Genesis chapter 2. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 2, in verse number 21. So again, before this verse that I'm about, I can't move around, can I? I've got to stay on camera. I'm sorry about that, guys. All right, I'm getting the high sign here. I can move a little bit, all right? With all of you here, I feel like I need to move, all right? But I'll stay. Here we go. Genesis chapter 2, at this point, who's in existence in creation? Adam and all of the animal world. So Adam is existing with all the horses and lions and tigers and bears. Oh my, that's his existence. But the Lord recognized that there is an absence in creation, and that absence was a spouse or an helpmeet for Adam. Now again, were there any problems for Adam at this point? Who's he communicating with? He's communicating with Almighty God. He's dwelling in perfection. He's speaking to the animal world and the comings and goings of the garden. No one to argue with. There's no parents to be rebellious of. There's no employer to get upset with. There's no 9-to-5 job. There's no taskmaster that's telling him he must do thus and so. And the Bible says, now don't read ahead. I'm not saying that God gave to man all those things that he might fill the role of the taskmaster and all those other things. That's not my point. All right. Genesis chapter 2, he's existing all by himself in the animal kingdom, all right? Verse number 21, the Bible says, and the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman, and he brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of a man. One flesh, one man, one woman for one lifetime, one flesh, the one flesh principle. Everything is still great. There are no in-laws to deal with, right? There's no brother-in-laws, there's no sister-in-laws, there's no mom and dad-in-law, there's no next-door neighbor. Do you understand that in Genesis chapter 2 there was no HOA? There were no issues. I saw the other day a picture from an HOA, and perhaps you have one like this, but the HOA had it explicitly written in their documents that you could not have an in-ground or above-ground pool on your property. And you'd be like, okay, well, that makes sense. Well, the people at the house put up an inflatable 3-foot pool. It was about this deep in their driveway. And they got a letter from the HOA reminding them that they were not allowed to have a pool, either in ground or above ground, on their property. And I'm like, what person, now if it's you, please see me afterwards, we can talk it out. But what person drives by that and sees an inflatable pool and says, yes, that's going to be there a long time? Those things never last beyond 1 or 2 uses. But the HOA was sure to send out their letter and let them know, listen, you're not allowed to have that. Can you imagine what it would be like to exist in a world in which there were no HOAs? Sometimes the most powerful entities in the world. There's no HOA. There is no overriding government regulations in the world at this time. Not one. There's only one rule to live by. One rule. Thou shalt not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And the Bible tells us here, Adam and Eve are dwelling in perfection, and they live together, they love one another, they fellowship with Almighty God. Everything is just going wonderfully well. But Genesis chapter 3 changes everything. Look with me now in chapter 3, and you know the beginning of the passage. The Bible says the serpent was more subtle, and he deceived Eve. Eve ate of the fruit. Adam willfully chose to eat of the fruit and disobeyed God. And everything changes. Now, would you read with me in Genesis chapter 3, verses 9 through 24? Again, please keep in mind that in Genesis chapter 2, before sin, the structure was based upon perfection. Everything was about perfection. God was perfect. Adam and Eve were created in perfection. The garden was perfect. The animal kingdom was perfect. Everything dwelt in perfection. But now sin enters the matter. Genesis chapter 3, look what the Bible says in verse number 9. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden. I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. And he said, who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, the woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days, and of the dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, thou shalt bruise his heel. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee. And thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread till thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. And Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. And unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them. Now, I don't know if you realize it or not, but here in the passage, because of the nature of sin and its impact on all of creation, God orchestrated structure. And so we go back to Psalm 127 and we ask ourselves, what does the verse say? Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. I have many people sitting before me right now and many that are listening via live stream, and you're all attempting to build a house. You're attempting to build a home. But will your home have a biblical structure to it? You know, they don't put the roof on a home before they build the foundation. They don't put all the walls up before they build the basement or whatever it would be. There's a process that you walk through to have the correct structure and the correct foundation and the correct home. And this next thought process that I'm going to deal with this morning and give to all of us is this statement, who, or this question, who created and directed the structure? In Genesis chapter 3, who created and directed the structure? Well, it was Almighty God. You say, well, I don't like God's process for the home. Okay, you can take that up with him. I'm not the one who created it. God created man, God created woman, God created marriage, and God created the manual by which your marriage and your home will function best. Now, you have a choice. Everyone sitting before me, all the young people sitting before me that have not yet chosen or been chosen as a future spouse, all have a choice as to what you're going to do on this matter of structure. Everyone does. Perhaps right now you're adding or you're taking away from the structure of your home. You say, Pastor, I don't like what you've said in this series on family matters. Well, perhaps you need to come back to the Word of God and you need to deal with a greater matter, because the matter is your heart before Almighty God, because he's the one who's created all these things. When you and I read this passage here in Genesis chapter 3, the entire reason why God brought structure into this scenario is because sin entered the day. I debated long and hard about the process of this live streaming arena of 7, 8, 9, 10 weeks, whatever we've been at it now for. And I thought about preaching on the coronavirus and everything like this. And you might notice, I have not preached on it. And if I was fearful of it or not fearful and everything like this, I've not preached on it because I'm not a topic of the day type preacher. I know that there are those like that, and I understand that. They go kind of to the headlines. I've heard some of the online preachers that have said, hey, next week I'm going to be dealing with this headline, so tune in. And I know it makes for sensationalism and sensational preaching, and people tune into it. I understand that. You say, well, Pastor, I wish you'd be more like that. And I know that. I know there are people that just would love for me to rip things from the headlines and, boy, just nail things and nail things and nail things each and every week. I understand that. But could I tell you that I really believe the sources of all of our problems come from all the messages that I've been preaching during the coronavirus issues? And I really believe what I'm going to deal with this morning is in fact dealing with the very things that are abounding in our large cities today, and even affecting our surrounding cities, and even cities that we live in, and even perhaps some neighborhoods that are close by where you're living. This topic that I'm going to deal with this morning addresses the very issues that we face in society right now. Many weeks ago, I brought up the issue of divorce, remarriage, single-parent homes. I brought up the issue of how many fatherless homes there are in America. You know what? I think that's spot on in what our country's dealing with today. To all of our young people, please hear me right now. When you are contemplating asking her to marry you or saying yes to him when he's asked you to marry him, make sure that this topic that I'm going to deal with this morning over the next 15 or so minutes is the heartbeat of the one that you're getting ready to marry, because it will make all the difference in the world in your marriage. The Lord builds the house. The Lord builds the home. He established the structure that came as a necessary point when sin entered the issue. You see, sin sought to ruin structures, and it still does. Amen, Pastor. That's exactly right. Even though there are consequences of sin, God still steps in and says, you can have structure. You can make a difference. You and I think that what we're seeing in the world is horrible, but we're not yet in the eight of Noah's day. I mean, do you realize that for the 100+ years that Noah is building the ark, that after all of his preaching on righteousness, after everything he said to warn people about the coming day of judgment, about the nature of what was ahead, only 8 people got on the ark. You know, there's more than 8 people here today, praise God. More than 8 people tuning in. Boy, Pastor, it's bad. Yes, but there's still light and salt that abounds in our nation. I'm glad I'm not yet in the 8. We understand that God works through this, and he brings about a path by which you and I, can still have success in our home. I would contend this morning that if you have no structure in your home, that your home is a mess. I think someone recently said that there are many in Christian circles that will finally wear physically what they've been wearing for years as they've been coming and going from church, and that's a mask. And when I first heard that, I was like, ouch. But I wonder what we're like before we drive in on Sunday morning, and what has occurred in the car, and what it was like on Saturday night, and what it was like on Friday night, and all the arguments and all the struggles that have been there. But we've come into church with the mask on. And boy, husbands love their wives, and wives love their husbands, and children are oh so obedient. Oh, this is just so wonderful. Well, now everybody's wearing the physical mask, but I wonder what's really behind it. I would also contend that the best way for success in our sin-cursed world is to follow the structure that God has put into place here in Genesis chapter 3. You know, the world wants rebellion, but God wants structure. The world has a plan of success, and it always ends in failure. God has a plan of success, and if you follow it, it will always end in success. Well, what is this biblical structure? What is it that would best sustain your home? What is it that I still struggle with today? What is this overriding matter that should be the underlying strength of your home? Here it is. Obedience. Man, I hate obedience. My teachers made me write Hebrews 13, 17 so many times in grade school as I was coming up. It was the worst verse to write. Not only did I not like the verse, but it was so long. If you're a teacher and you're struggling with a student, I would highly recommend the use of writing out verses. Let me just wink, wink, nod, nod, encourage the teachers. Man, I hated it, but you know what? I memorized Hebrews 13, 17. Obey them that have the rule over you. Boy, that's a tough word. I don't like obeying in amusement parks. When they tell me that my kid is not tall enough to ride a roller coaster ride, I don't like that. There was a street in our county in East Tennessee, and this street was called Van Road. Do you know what the speed limit on Van Road was? If I'm not mistaken, and there are several here that can correct me if I'm wrong, but it was 20 miles per hour. Do you know that older individuals on hover rounds can go faster than you in a car at 20 miles per hour? Kids on scooters can go faster than 20 miles an hour. When we got on Van Road, and this was the thing, they would set up a police trap on the road. Duh! What? That's too easy. It's almost impossible to do 20 miles per hour. Yes, sir, I just clocked you doing 25 and a 20. Sir, if I wasn't doing 25, I would be sitting still and I wouldn't be able to keep up with the roller skating traffic. And there are so many things in society, 10 items or less at the grocery store. Now, one thing I've not minded at all is the social distancing of 6 feet. I'm like, you better stay 6 feet away from me with that mask on. I don't trust you, man, right? All right? You 6 feet away, no problem at all. I got a lot better sight on you. I know what's going on. Don't pop up, don't show up or anything like this. This is working perfect. But there are so many things in social design in the world today, and you're just like, man, I don't like that. Why is that? I believe none of us likes to obey. And yet every single person in this audience right now has someone that they have to obey. Perhaps children that come to church think, well, pastor doesn't have to obey anybody. Yes, I do. On many occasions, I've seen the little blue light that comes behind my car and tells me I can't do something because it's against the law. Yeah, I have to obey. There are people that I have to obey. Every single one of them. Well, man, my parents don't have to obey anybody. Yes, they do. Yes, they do. Biblical structure is what will cause your home to be successful And it is absolutely, if there's an absence of this matter in your home, listen to me carefully, it will fail. It will fail. So, Pastor, that kind of sounds depressing. I thought you'd be an encouragement when we all got back together. Well, you know what? The greatest encouragement could be to that young person who's contemplating marriage and is contemplating marrying someone who struggles to obey. And I'd say to them right now, run. Run. Because we all have this put on us, this matter of obedience. Let's walk through it carefully this morning. And again, I won't be long in the points, but I want you to see these things. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse number 7, remember them which have the rule over you, and have spoken unto you the word of God. Hebrews 13, 17, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves. Jeremiah 7 and verse number 23, but this thing commanded I them, saying, obey my voice and I will be your God. When we come to this matter of obedience, there's just two simple points, and this is not hard to discern. Here we go. Number one, you ready? For biblical structure in the home as it's related to obedience, here it is. Number one, dad and mom must obey God. Dad and mom must obey God. Okay, dads, I want you to put aside anything else that's going on in your home right now, and I just want you to focus on your life, and I want to ask you several things from the scriptures as it relates to your life, and I want you to do a checkup. How does your life measure up with what God says you're supposed to be doing in the home? Here we go. This is for dads. Dads, what do you do right now to demonstrate obedience in the home? Well, first of all, the Bible says love your wife. Do you love your wife? Oh, well, yes, Pastor. I told her the day we got married that I loved her. And if I ever change my mind, I'll let her know. No. Listen to me carefully. The Bible says that I'm to love my wife in such a way as to demonstrate how Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Do you love your wife? Well, you know, she's not what she used to be. Well, she's not near the cook that my mother was. If you say that, I would make sure you're socially distancing yourself from your wife. Well, she doesn't work as hard. She doesn't keep the house clean as I would like. Men, I'm asking you this question. According to the scriptures, do you love your wife? The second thing, are you training your children up in the path of Christ and the Word of God? The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4, ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Fathers, I'm not asking about your wife's role, and I'm not asking you right now about your kids. I'm asking you about your home and whether or not you are obeying God in this matter of training them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Number three, fathers, are you disciplining your children? Proverbs 3 and verse number 12, the Bible says, for whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father, the son in whom he delighteth. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 7, if ye endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the father chasteneth not? Fathers, it is your responsibility to bring discipline in the lives of your children. Well, they just don't like the way that I respond on these matters or what. I'm just putting you between, I want this to be between you and God. Because we start right here with dads and we say, dads, are you obeying God? Let's go to moms. What does the Bible say about a mom? How does a mom demonstrate her obedience to Almighty God? Well, the Bible says in Ephesians 5 and verse number 22, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands. Colossians chapter 3 and verse number 18, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husband as it is fit unto the Lord. Wives, submit unto your own husbands. Well, my husband isn't what he used to be. My husband isn't what he said he would be. My husband doesn't have the job he said he would have. My husband doesn't do what I'd like to see him do. My husband's got all, there's no qualifiers in that. The Bible says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands. But Pastor, now you know full well if you got up on a TV show or you met with some doctor so-and-so that has his own show and you made that statement, why the world would crucify you for it. I understand. The world doesn't want structure. But God said, if we're going to have structure in this sin-sickened world, then here's how the structure is going to work, and to try anything else is to be futile. Because except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain to build it. For all of our young ladies that are in that position of potentially saying I do to someone, please do not say I do to that young man if you are not willing to submit to him and to his leadership. Don't go down that path. Say no. Wait for someone else to come along, ChristianMingle.com. But please, say no. Submit yourselves unto your own husband. Number two, the Bible says that they look well to the ways of their household. Proverbs chapter 31, verses 26 and 27. The Bible details, she openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household and eateth not the bread of idleness. Ladies, is your household your primary priority? Now, if you read through what the Proverbs 31 woman does, she's actively involved in so many different entities, but you can tell in reading the passage that her priority is her home. Oh, I know that there's a lot of other things that come along and there's a lot of other things that we can invest ourselves in. I understand that. My mom was invested right across the street from our school on Braddock Road, and she worked for years at Decorator's Corner, I think was the name of it. She worked with a number of different men in our church that were painters and wallpapers, and they went all across Fairfax County decorating houses and everything like this. And she loved what she got to do, but my mom made our home her priority. You say, Pastor, I don't like that. Again, this is not a beef between you and me. This is something for you to go to Almighty God over and say, Lord, I don't like how this is, but if this is the structure that you've set out, then this is the structure that I will abide by because I know that's how it will work best. Moms, let me give you one more. I believe that it is a wonderful opportunity for moms to model Christ-likeness in the home. I don't have time to read this passage, but if you'd write this down, 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 through 6, the Bible details the nature of Sarah's example even when Abraham was messing up. Wives, if your husband is not living obedient unto Almighty God, the best way to win him is without the word. Here's what I'm saying. You get in a place where you are private and you pour your heart out to God and you say, God, I am removing myself from the relationship between you and my husband, and I want you to wear him out over what he's not doing in obedience to Almighty God. And I think in so many cases, instead of praying for the husband to get right and begging God to do the work, the wife says, I'll take care of this myself. And so God says, well, as long as you're going to handle it, I'll keep my hands off of him. Wives, the best thing you can do is to follow the example of Sarah and say, Lord, now you know my husband's not acting right. He's not doing right. He's not acting according to the scriptures. He's not in obedience. The best thing you can do, wives, seems like the most difficult thing and the easiest thing, but it's the best thing is to go to your knees in prayer and to just simply say, Lord, would you work in my husband's life? You know him better than I do, and you know he's not living in obedience. I believe that the mom, the wife, can model Christ's likeness in the home. And again, that's in 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. Now, before I go to the second point and I wrap this up, if we are honest with ourselves as parents, how many times does our children's disobedience actually model or reflect our disobedience to our authority? So here's what's happening is I'm telling our sons in our home with two boys, my wife and I are telling our sons, obey, 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 obey. But they're turning their sights on us and they're seeing dad doesn't obey, mom doesn't obey, dad doesn't obey, mom doesn't obey. Why is it a big deal for me to obey? And I want to challenge you this morning that it is quite possible that those things that we're looking at in our children's lives as being a problem are actually right here in our own walk. Parents, We have things that we must obey God. And we have areas in which we must obey God. I've just given you a couple simple ones, but then let me go to the next one. And boy, the kids are going to love this. Just as I did when I was 5, 6, 7, 10, 12, 15 years old. Here it is. Children, obey your parents. Boy, these messages are so difficult to understand, Pastor. I just don't get the depth of the Greek and Hebrew that you're using. I think we all quite understand what needs to happen in homes. Children, obey your parents. I believe that children have been placed in our homes for between 18 and 22 years, and there are two major things for them to learn while they are in our home. Number one, they're to learn to honor their parents. Exodus chapter 20 and verse number 12, honor thy father and thy mother. Deuteronomy chapter 5 and verse number 16, honor thy father and thy mother as the Lord thy God hath commanded thee, that thy days may be prolonged and that it may go well with thee. And then the Bible says that I'm to obey. It's an interesting verse in Proverbs chapter 30, verse 17, when you think about it in picture. Listen to these words. The eye that mocketh at his father and despiseth to obey his mother, the ravens of the valley shall pick it out, and the young eagles shall eat it. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm not a real big fan of having some raven come down, ha, ha, you know, or whatever, pick out, I know that's a different bird, okay, coming down, picking out my eyeballs, all right? Let's think about that for a moment. You're like, that would be terrible to have that happen. But I believe that you and I right now are witnessing generations of young people that have not been taught in their home to honor and obey mom and dad. There are so many things that I see happening in the world today as it relates to students interacting with teachers, as it relates to individuals interacting with law enforcement, as it comes to employees interacting with employers. There are so many things going on in the world today, and I'm like, well, man, that was one of the things I learned early on in life. Why? Because I was taught to honor my parents and to obey my parents. Young people, listen to me this morning. God makes it very clear that if you struggle with this primary relationship in recognizing your mom and dad, you will struggle with every relationship from this day forward. Can I tell you the story of an unnamed teenager? But this unnamed teenager abounds. And this is something like it would go as I was a youth pastor coming into the youth pastorate and serving in a number of different churches. It would go something like this. When a young person was disobedient to mom and dad, it was not long before I'd hear them telling me they got in trouble with a teacher. And I'd hear something like this from the parent. Well, that teacher just doesn't like my child. You're right. You're right. Teachers sacrifice themselves over and over and over again because they want a class full of kids they hate. That's what they do with their lives. That's right. That's right. But it wasn't long before we'd move beyond that, and I'd hear something like this. Well, I mean, I just got to tell you, Brother Todd, as their youth pastor, we just want to let you know the school principal hates our child. I'm like, okay, all right, okay. And then it wasn't long before I'd hear something like this. Well, little Johnny got a job here at the local food establishment, and he was doing great. But you know that employer? He doesn't like my child. I'm like, oh, okay, all right. He just doesn't like your child. And then it wasn't long before I'd hear something like this. They ran into an issue with a law enforcement officer, and, well, you know what's funny? That police officer just doesn't like my child. And there's a lot of things that I could fill in as it would lead up to that kind of a thing. But folks, I heard that time and time and time again. Why do you suppose that was? I believe it all goes back to the home and to the structure. Young people, if you're waiting on your parents to be perfect before you start obeying, you're in trouble with God. If any one of us take the message this morning and say, well, I'll start doing that when everyone else in my home starts to obey. So I looked at Reagan and Carson and I, sorry about that. And I say to them, boys, dad's going to start obeying when you start obeying. Or I look into my wife's eyes and I say, you know what, honey? I'll start obeying God when you obey God. When I start down that path, I'm headed for destruction and disaster. Because biblical structure is not based upon the weight of everyone else getting in line. It is you searching within and saying, okay, what does God expect of me as it relates in the home? And then you being honest with God and saying, I've got some things that I need to work on. You know, when I read these stories of fathers and these verses related to fathers, I recognize it will be any wonder if our boys turn out at all. Because I will testify this morning, they've had a pretty poor example in the home. What? Pastor, you're a man of the cloth. Oh, so many times I look back and I say, boy, I wish I'd have given the boys a better example than that. Wished I wouldn't have talked like that. I wished I wouldn't have acted out like that. Wished I would have had a better response on that. Wished I would have demonstrated a better act of obedience. But you know, I cannot wait for my wife to get in line with God. I cannot wait for our boys to get in line with God. I have to look right here. And I have to say to Almighty God, God, do the work right here in my life. Say, Pastor, our home is a disaster today. I believe this is a primary place to go, biblical structure. And biblical structure comes from obedience. Every person in your home, obedient to God in their role. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time this morning. And I know that this is not ideal, but I'm very thankful for the many that have invested to be here this morning in person on campus. And I'm thankful for the many that have joined us online. Lord, I know that this is an issue in my heart. Oh, I don't like obedience. I don't like to obey. I want to do my own thing. I want to go my own way. I want to make up my own rules. In the flesh, I would think that the best way to live life is for every man to do that which is right in his own eyes. But in truth, that is a fiasco. And when sin entered the arena of man and sin entered the arena of creation, we understand that God had to immediately establish structure for society and how it would move forward. So in spite of our sin, God has a manual that will direct us, that will show us, that will help us build the home that He would have us to have. Lord, in the quietness of this moment, in the awkwardness of social distancing and everything like this, I pray that in a quiet invitation that you would work. As we dismiss this morning, may each father leave this place saying, Lord, help me to be obedient in my areas. I've only mentioned a couple. I'm sure that there are a lot more. May each mother say, Lord, I want you to help me be obedient in my areas. And may each young person learn the importance of honoring and obeying mom and dad, that first and primary relationship. What we are seeing in the world today with all of this rioting and anarchy, it is so troubling to think of how man is treating his fellow man. And I believe that so many of those issues actually flow back to what took place in homes. And so, Father, I pray that you'd help us today to look within and to make the changes that you would direct. May our homes be founded on a biblical structure. Thank you for our time together today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you so very much for joining us this morning. The ushers are going to dismiss you by sections. And as you're dismissed out of the facilities, you're on your own outside as far as fellowshipping and everything like this. But we do need to pretty proactively dismiss everyone out of the building, and that will afford others the opportunity to clean and make preparations for the next service. Thank you for joining us this morning. Please stay tuned with the digital announcements, emails, and so forth that come out. And I'm sure this will be done on a week-by-week basis. We'll continue to make adjustments. And I do appreciate you joining us here this morning. Let's see, Brother Jeff, am I going to make the announcement to dismiss a section, or the ushers are going to do that? All right, the ushers are going to take care of that. So they'll come by and dismiss you. Just pretend you're at the wedding and the bride and groom just left out. All right. Thank you for joining us today. We'll look forward to seeing you again soon. Thank you.